We are currently $27,000 short of budget after the first 7 months of this year. Please consider making a special summer contribution to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a financial gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind during the difficult summer months.
Hey, wake up, Martin Luther. Welcome to the future.
All this week we've been reacting and getting your reaction to the things that were said by the two finalists at the Evangelical Lutheran Church America's Churchwide Assembly for Presiding Bishop, Bishop Mark Hansen, who's held that position for 12 years, and Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, who ended up winning that election last week. And we've been focusing on some of the things they said in advance of the election. Just yesterday, we got to the acceptance speech from Elizabeth Eaton, and we're going to round off her comments there in the acceptance speech, get some reaction to it, and then move on to the press conference that she and Mark Hansen held after the election, where she answers specific questions from reporters. I invite your reaction, your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Here is the second half. We heard the very beginning, but here's the second half of Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton's acceptance speech.
I wanted to start a conversation, and I want this conversation to continue for the next 6 years. I finally thought of what I really wanted to say for the first question about 5 years ago, it seems, right now. There's a lot of work that we have to do as a church, and one thing that does concern me is that we do not reflect the vision and revelation of all nations and tribes and tongues streaming to the throne of the Lamb. We are an overwhelmingly European American church in a culture that is increasingly becoming more pluralistic, and we need to find ways to get out of the way those of us who are in this position of privilege to welcome the gifts of those who have come from other places or other cultures or who have different histories or different colors of skin. That's a conversation we must have as a church.
We'll come back to a little bit more of that after the break, but I want you to notice something. The theme that she has chosen there, the framework that she has chosen there, is really not that much different than that which was established a long time ago by her predecessor, Bishop Mark Hansen. The term conversation is one of his favorites. You can read just about any of his sermons, speeches, talks, and you will hear the word conversation as the predominant idea. Keep talking. We all disagree, but the only way to move forward and stay together, that's another big theme that she wants to emphasize, is to keep talking, keep the conversation going. Plus, her concern that they're too insular a church body. We'll respond to that on the other side of the break. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc., responding to the finalist for Presiding Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, presents a new book of essays in honor of Daniel Preuss. It's titled Proper Christum, Christ at the Center. This new hardcover book will be out in November and features essays from Issues Etc. regular guests, Matt Harrison, Scott Murray, David Scare, and others. You can save $10 by advance ordering in August or $5 by pre-ordering in September. Check out Proper Christum, Christ at the Center at shop.logia.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues Etc. podcast at the iTunes store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In your Lutheran liturgy, you have been entrusted with a precious birthright.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Don't let anyone persuade you that it's worth selling off for a pot of evangelical pottage. It is not. It is a wonderful gift.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's presentation, Making the Case for Classical Christian Worship, and teachings by Todd Wilkin, Rod Rosenblatt, Chris Roseborough, Alvin Schmidt, and Suzanne Venker on a new audio DVD for the Making the Case Conference. For a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
We need to make room for those who do not agree with us, but who do agree upon the cross. Ambiguity is possible so long as we agree on Christ and Christ crucified.
Truly, the disease of my soul must be great and deadly if it can only be cured because the heavenly physician, life itself, dies on a cross.
Jesus understands very well that for him to do these works, it's like when he told the man, "Your sins are forgiven." Jesus was signing his own death warrant.
I remember it all as I die, as I lay my head down in death. My son, I'm not afraid. I go to you who have conquered death, to you who are the forgiveness of all sins. Receive me, child, receive me.
In about 1 hour from now, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Just a taste of the four soundbites we'll be playing for you. You listen, you vote, and you pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the last half hour on this Friday afternoon, August the 23rd, I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's audio open lines. We're responding to the two finalists for presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Before the break, we heard a little bit of Elizabeth Eaton, the newly elected presiding bishop, in her acceptance speech, and she used the term that we've come to be very familiar with if we've been listening to her predecessor, Presiding Bishop Mark Hansen, the term conversation. Now, I don't think this is a term that's casually chosen. Conversation today, in its kind of plain, ordinary sense, usually just means people talking together. We have making conversation, right? Now, the root of the word actually means just to kind of keep company together. To hang out together, to be familiar with other people. It's come to mean, in modern parlance, to talk. Now, maybe 20 years ago, instead of saying conversation, they would have said dialogue. Dialogue is a stronger word because it actually means to talk through a subject, to discuss something. I don't know what they're supposed to be talking about when I hear Bishop Mark Hansen or Elizabeth Eaton say we need to stay in conversation. We need to keep the conversation going. We need to have a conversation. You know what it sounds like to me? And I wonder what the emergent types, the leaders of the emergent church out there who are consider themselves as a reaction to mainline liberalism and on the avant-garde of the evolution of Christianity, as they would see it, they use exactly the same kind of language. Theology is about engaging in conversation, continuing to talk things through and reach consensus, and then the consensus falls apart. We have more conversation. I wonder what they're thinking when they see the old, and here we are, the old mainline liberalism of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America using their language. Let's stay in conversation. It, to me, it highlights two things. First of all, there's nothing new under the sun, and that there's really not that big of a difference, if any at all, except in externals, between mainline Protestantism, as we see it in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and the so-called cutting edge of the emergent church. There's no difference between the two. They have exactly the same way of doing theology. Theology, this is something you need to know about that term conversation. There's nothing wrong with having a conversation, but we do not do theology by conversation. Theology is not the task of talking together and coming to some sort of consensus. We don't do theology by conversation. Theology is done by authoritative revelation. There's a huge difference between conversation and revelation. And what the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has done is replaced revelation with conversation. It sounds great. It sounds very open-minded, very tolerant. But make no mistake about it. What they're advocating when they say, let's stay in the conversation, let's have a conversation, is determining the direction, the teaching, the proclamation, the practice of the church in the future by talking to one another and kind of agreeing to disagree on many things and kind of agreeing to do a couple other things, rather than consulting the authoritative revelation of God's word. That's what they're talking about. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, revelation, that is the external word of God in Holy Scripture, has been replaced by conversation. Here's a little more of her acceptance speech.
But a conversation I think we have to have, all of us, all of the time. It's a continuing conversation with God. And maybe that conversation means we need to be quiet so that we can get rid of the ambient noise and listen to what God might be saying to us.
Now, that sounds great, doesn't it? Let's listen to God. But does she mean open Holy Scripture, take seriously what the text actually says, and believe what it says? Teach what it says, confess what it says, practice what it says? Obviously not. I mean, she said elsewhere that their church in 2009 made a decision in direct contradiction to the clear teaching of Scripture with regard to human sexuality. And she says it was a good decision and a necessary decision. So she's not talking about, when she says, let's have a conversation with God, she is not talking about going back to Holy Scripture. She's talking about having a conversation with that God that speaks privately to you in your heart or through the voices of culture or through the voices of other people or other religions. That's what she's talking about. And you notice it is qualified. She says, what God might be saying to us. Holy Scripture is not what God might be saying to us. It is what God is saying to us. If someone wants to hear someplace outside of Holy Scripture what God might be saying, well, all you're ever going to get is, well, maybe God is saying this, maybe he isn't. We don't know. But that kind of ambiguity that she celebrates has no problem with, well, maybe God said this. Let's try it and see what happens. Maybe he didn't say that. Well, what did he say in Holy Scripture? Well, sure, that's what he said. But our bound consciences require us to listen to a new move of God, to hear what God might be saying to us now rather than what he said to us back then.
My thanks at this time are to you, but most especially to God, who has blessed and loved this church and loves it enough to call it to account and also to call it to God's future. One of the pastors in my synod, Moba Borse, who fled Liberia in order to escape the civil war, himself suffering from malaria, he keeps this passage in his wallet, and it's important to me too, from Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you.
Now the rest of her speech is, not to interrupt the prophet Isaiah, but the rest of her speech is simply the quotation from that chapter from the book of Isaiah. It's odd that she turns to the Bible at the end of her acceptance speech when her church has consistently turned away from the Bible. And it's elected her precisely because in many ways, it has turned away from Holy Scripture. But that shouldn't surprise us. What did she say? She said, well, God has blessed this church and loves this church enough to call it to account, not to God's word, but she said to God's future. There's a difference between God's word and God's future. God's future is whatever they think it might be, whatever it might turn out to be. We don't know. 25 years ago, did we know that it would mean accepting open homosexuality and gay clergy? No, we didn't know that. The dirty little secret is, yes, they did. They just won't admit it. But we didn't feel like that maybe was where God was taking us, but he did, and it was a surprise. And who would have known what God was going to do with us? That's God's future. That is a future of a church that has cut itself off, as I said yesterday, that has completely cut all moorings from the anchor of Scripture and is now floating freely on the sea of the culture. When a church focuses on God's future rather than God's word, it abandons the God that is found only in his word. And the God that they're listening to, who's dictating the future of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to them, you can rest assured, is not the God found in Holy Scripture. This is a great part of the Lutheran Confessions, where it says simply, any spirit that claims to be speaking from God, apart from the external word of God, that is, apart from Scripture, is not God, but the devil. And that's a harsh condemnation on a church body that has, by its own admission, decided to stop listening to the external word of God and start listening to a God that speaks apart from that word. And the only conclusion you can draw on the basis of what the confessions say there, the Lutheran confessions for this Lutheran church, is they're listening to the devil. It's that simple. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. We're going through the statements from the two finalists for presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America at their churchwide assembly last week. When we come back from this break, we're going to hear some of the press conference that was given. Both Bishop Mark Hansen, the outgoing presiding bishop, and the newly elected presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, had some things to say at that conference. We'll hear all of it on the other side, and I invite your questions and your comments. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. We've heard them talk about the need for a conversation, the need to continue to listen to what God might be saying to them in the future, to hold themselves accountable to God's future, not to God's word. We can only imagine where this is leading, but at the press conference that we'll hear on the other side of the break, Elizabeth Eaton answers questions about the future of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. She talks about keeping the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America together. She talks about how she plans to move forward on the issue of gay clergy, especially not with respect to those who thought that they shouldn't have done it, with respect to those who thought that they should have done it sooner. That's an interesting question. She'll also answer the question, what might be different in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America 3 or 4 years from now? Stay tuned. Her answer to that question might stun you. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
the 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Collegiate Church of St. Mary Warwick with the Confession and Absolution hymn, Lord Jesus, Think on Me. Well, that's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's a sacred music station that we have offered absolutely free, year-round, 24-7. The music of the church according to the church year at LutheranPublicRadio.org. And if you listen to this. You hear the kind of choral quality that's in the pieces that play, the vast, and I mean vast, library of choral and sacred music at Lutheran Public Radio. This is just a taste of what you will hear 24-7. LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's audio open lines. We're responding to two finalists for the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Elizabeth Eaton and Mark Hansen. So what have we heard so far? We've heard both of them essentially singing off the same page of the hymnal. There is a little distinction that we will find between Elizabeth Eaton, the new presiding bishop, and Mark Hansen, the old presiding bishop. That being, and I noted this yesterday, that being that Elizabeth Eaton seems a little more aware and sensitive to the fact that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has begun to lose anything distinctively Lutheran about it. Now, certainly, she would contend that they're still a Lutheran church. My opinion is they ceased to be a Lutheran church long ago, in any real objective sense, based upon what Scripture and the Confessions teach. They forfeited that name a long time ago. But giving her the benefit of the doubt, she's concerned that they maintain their distinctive Lutheran voice, not confession, but voice in the world. She thinks they have something to give to the church that's distinctively Lutheran. I don't know what that's going to be, honestly. When you abandon scriptural authority, which they have, when you abandon the authority of the Lutheran confessions, which they have, from their very beginning, by the way, they've never had a serious view of the Lutheran confessions as anything other than ancient, well, historic documents that might be of historical interest. When you abandon that, what distinctively Lutheran do you have to offer the church or the world? What makes them? She is struggling with the question of what makes the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America distinct from any other of the seven sisters of mainline Protestantism. And I understand why she's struggling with that, because I don't see a big difference. Other than their ethnic background, which is irrelevant, other than any kind of trappings, particular trappings of Lutheranism, like the language that she likes to use, kind of the buzzwords of Lutheranism, which have all been emptied of their meaning because there's no scripture or confessions behind it. Other than that, what do you have to offer? How are you any different from mainline Protestantism? Well, shortly after the election of Elizabeth Eaton, there was a press conference held, and both Mark Hansen, the current presiding bishop, and Elizabeth Eaton were there. Mark Hansen gave a few introductory remarks, and then Elizabeth Eaton answered some specific questions. Here's Mark Hansen talking about the Churchwide Assembly's theme, Always Being Made New.
It is a great honor to sit with Bishop-elect Eaton to introduce her to you. I warned her outside. This is a friendly group, even when you walk in and it's silent. She said, am I in a funeral parlor? I said, no, it's a press conference. Always being made new, the theme of this assembly. And this call process was a call process for new leadership, which I think is very appropriate in a church that is always being made new. You who have followed us have known in brief 25 years in our history, we have never looked back. We've always looked ahead. We've said we're going to always be made new by being deeply committed ecumenically. And so 25 years later, we now have 6 full communion partners. We said we are bold enough to believe that we can always be made new by taking on some of the toughest issues in the world today that members of this church and society face every day of their life. And we're going to ponder what those issues mean in the context of our faith, science, experience, and scripture. And we're doing that again at this assembly with a social statement on criminal justice, just as we did 2 years ago.
All right. That's just the beginning of his remarks there, but I wanted to pause at that point. And did you notice what he listed as the sources of authority, so to speak, for their further pondering of ecumenical issues, their further pondering of the toughest issues? That's code word for human sexuality. He had a list, 4 things that are the basis for their further ponderings in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America: our faith, science, our experience, and last, and sadly least, scripture. Someone asked yesterday, they called in and they said, what has the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America done with the solas of the Reformation, those great alones of the Reformation? Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. Those are the 4 solas of the Reformation. Well, there's your answer. At least with respect to scripture alone, they have abandoned it. They no longer have scripture alone. They have scripture in 4th place after your faith. I guess that just means your religious sentiment. I don't know. Science. Your experience. And wow, how varied are human experiences. And then finally, scripture. So this is not scripture alone. This is faith, science, experience, and scripture, not alone. So is it any wonder that they've made the decisions they've made? Is it any wonder that when they grapple with the toughest issues that the world is facing every day, they have come up with the wrong answer consistently? Is it any wonder that they have decided to become so ecumenically promiscuous as to have emptied themselves of anything distinctively Lutheran, much less even Christian, by their compromises with their ecumenical partners? Is it any wonder? If your basis, if your authority is your faith, science, experience, and finally, scripture, we shouldn't be surprised at the last 25 years of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Then Mark Hansen had the opportunity to answer the question, what does the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's history, its past 25 years, really say, before he introduces Bishop Eaton?
What that says is a young church is a very mature church, because we have confidence that we can engage each other in decisions that will not lead to division. And that is true of the election of a new presiding bishop. She, Bishop Eaton-elect, may be new to this office, but she's not new to leadership. We share leadership together already in the Conference of Bishops. She is wise as a theologian. She is experienced beyond belief in the dynamics of a church that lives with its decisions. Sometimes the aftermath is controversial and often joyful. She knows this church in northeastern Ohio, which is a kind of microcosm of this church, with a large metropolitan area, diverse ethnically and Lutheran roots, but always being made new in and of itself. It is wonderful to pass on the mantle of leadership in a couple months, confident that this is a church strong in its orientation towards God's future. We've made some difficult decisions in terms of reducing the church-wide staff, and now we've positioned a very a very nimble staff that will receive her into leadership as the CEO of the organization and continue to move forward into God's work.
Well, first of all, did you hear him say it again? He echoed what Elizabeth Eaton had said before. This is a church that is strong in its orientation toward God's future. Not God's word, God's future. An unwritten, unspecified future, as opposed to the written, specified word of God in Holy Scripture. The direction, I'll use his term, the orientation of this church could not be clearer. Away from Scripture, toward God's future. Now, I think you heard in his comments there the real identity crisis that has come upon the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the real identity crisis. Elizabeth Eaton recognizes that there is an identity crisis, that there's a problem, that they are losing their identity, if not have lost it altogether. But I think the real identity crisis, if you listen carefully what Bishop Hansen had to say, is not you know, we need to have a distinctive Lutheran voice in the world. Their identity for the last 25 years has really been, you know, we do what we want. We call ourselves Lutheran, but we do and we teach and we practice whatever we please. That has been their identity, the first part of their identity. The second part of their identity, equally strong for the last 25 years, has been, and no matter what we do or teach or confess, we don't divide. Nothing. Nothing in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is considered an issue warranting division. Nothing is considered a church-dividing issue. Nothing. You can teach, believe, confess, whatever you want. It's not considered a church-dividing issue. So that's been their identity for 25 years. We call ourselves Lutheran, but we do whatever we please. And no matter what we do, we don't divide. And there's the crisis of identity. Because for the last 3 years, they have experienced one of the biggest divisions in mainline Protestantism. They finally pressed an issue so far. A church body practiced in pressing issues to the very edge. They finally pressed an issue so far that some of them did consider it a church-dividing issue. Some of them. And I don't know if Bishop Mark Hansen knows what to do with himself. Because the identity of their church is we do what we please, but we don't divide. We disagree, but we don't divide. And you're going to hear the same kind of identity crisis in the answers to the questions that Elizabeth Eaton will give to the reporters in the press conference when we come back. In fact, the very first question will be about how they keep the Evangelical Lutheran Church together, how they keep it from further dividing. We'll hear what she has to say. I'm Todd Wilken. We're reacting to Elizabeth Eaton, the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, in a press conference after her election last week. It's Audio Open Lines.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the U.S. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/LCMSU. lcms.org/LCMSU.
Okay. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Audio Open Lines on this Friday afternoon, August the 23rd. I invite your questions or comments as we respond to the two finalists for the Presiding Bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Elizabeth Eaton and Mark Hansen. We've actually heard the last of Mark Hansen in the audio from the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He graciously stepped aside, introduced Bishop Eaton for the press conference, and she will be answering a series of questions, and we'll get your reaction as well. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MIIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Sally asks this. She says, I don't understand why the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America continues to call themselves Lutheran. Why haven't they taken Lutheran out of their name? Well, that's a great question. Remember before the break, I said that the identity of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America for the last 25 years has had two important parts. One, we call ourselves Lutheran, but we do whatever we please. We teach, confess, practice whatever we please. So they mean something different, and this is something you need to understand. From their very inception 25 years ago, they have meant something different by Lutheran than what has been historically meant by people who take that name. Not by all, but by most. They certainly mean something different by the word Lutheran than is meant by confessional Lutheranism of past and present. What a confessional Lutheran means when they say Lutheran is a Christian who accepts without reservation what is confessed in the Lutheran confessions because it is a clear exposition of Scripture's teaching. In other words, you ask a Lutheran, what do you believe? What do you teach? What do you confess historically? And he will say, well, the Lutheran confessions. Let's talk about what they teach and confess. The practices that they prescribe. That's the historic answer. It has an objective meaning in a set of documents that are grounded in history but have been accepted from their writing as a faithful confession of Scripture's teaching. Now, from its very beginning, you ask the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, what do you mean by Lutheran? And they might have answers, kind of flowery answers that include the confessions. But they have never required a subscription to the confessions that is unqualified. They have always held what is called a quatinus subscription to the confessions. They subscribe to the confessions only insofar as they agree with Scripture, which actually tells you nothing. Dr. Robert Preuss of sainted memory, I think he was the one, maybe it might have been Theodore Tappert, who said, you know, I can subscribe to the Quran insofar as it agrees with Scripture. That kind of subscription is meaningless. I can subscribe to an atheist manifesto insofar as it agrees with Scripture. Does that tell you anything about what I really believe? No. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. But that's the kind of subscription they've had from the very beginning of their 25-year history. So they've meant something different by Lutheran all along. Now, I'll speak from my own historical context. There have been many in my denomination, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who for a long time believed that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America meant Lutheran, meant the same thing that we mean when we say Lutheran. And they kind of held out hope that maybe they really still do want to be Lutheran because they had Lutheran in their name. But I have become convinced that they never meant what we mean by Lutheran. Never did. It didn't become evident or undeniable until about 10 years ago. So why do they keep the name Lutheran? The answer is simple. They just don't mean anything by it. It doesn't mean anything. And while they cling to something that Elizabeth Eaton will call a Lutheran voice or a Lutheran identity, they are hard-pressed to demonstrate how that is any different from a Presbyterian identity, an Episcopal identity, a Methodist identity, the identity of generic mainline Protestantism. They're hard-pressed to make any distinctions there. Should we get upset that they keep the name Lutheran? No. first of all, you can't stop them, and second of all, it is the burden is not upon the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Listen to me very carefully, and I mean this with all my heart. The burden is not upon the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to jettison the name Lutheran if they don't mean it. The burden is upon those who still mean it to teach, confess, and practice what it means to be Lutheran. If you want the world to know what it means to be Lutheran, the burden is not upon the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to take the name out of their title. The burden is upon us who still know what it means and mean what it says to confess and teach and practice what the Lutheran confessions say. The burden is on us, not on the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Martin says, would you please comment on the fact that the ELCA presiding bishop-elect Eaton's husband, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer article, is an Episcopal priest? It seems she embodies an ecumenism that does not consider the differences between church bodies to be substantial. I've been pastor to people who are married to someone who belongs to a different church, but a priest and a presiding bishop? This should boggle the mind, but sadly, it seems to make sense in the Evangelical Lutheran Church America's convoluted theological worldview. And of course, it makes perfect sense to them. It's probably one of the things that recommended her to the voters at the churchwide assembly, that she's married to an Episcopal priest. And why does that make sense to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? They have been full fellowship communion partners with the Episcopal Church USA for a long, long time. I don't know the exact date, but it's back to the 90s that they've had that ecumenical relationship. So is it any wonder? They should have no more problem, the way they look at it, they should have no more problem with an Episcopal priest and a Lutheran presiding bishop being married to one another than they would a Lutheran presiding bishop and a Lutheran school teacher being married to one another, because they don't see any appreciable difference. How do we know that they don't see any real difference between Episcopal and Lutheran? Because they have full fellowship. They have full altar pulpit fellowship. That tells us, no more questions need to be asked. That tells us that they simply do not see any significant differences between what the Episcopalians teach and what Lutherans teach. And in reality, there isn't. I could blindfold you, and if we could take out all references to Episcopal and to Lutheran, I could blindfold you and send you into one of their churches, either one of the churches, and I defy you to tell me which church you're in. I defy you to tell me which church you're in. It's a very good question, though. The first question that was posed to Elizabeth Eaton at the press conference after her election as presiding bishop was about keeping the ELCA together.
Thank you, Bishop Hansen. And I would be honored if I could be Elisha to your Elijah and accept that mantle. I do want to thank Bishop Hansen. In some ways, though, this is not what we thought would happen. His whole ministry as our presiding bishop has led to this point because it has been his passion and his work that makes this an inclusive church. So there's a place for everyone in this church. So this actually is another one of your achievements, Mark, and I'm grateful to have been the recipient of that. I'd like to thank Bishop Hansen also for 12 courageous years of leadership in a time in our church that was one of the most tumultuous in our brief 25-year history, but you kept us together. And I might say I'm proud of my brother and sister bishops because not a single one of us resigned in protest after the 2009 churchwide assembly decisions. We don't agree on everything in this church, but we do agree on the cross of Christ. And we do agree that we're going to stick together to have that conversation.
Did you hear the identity there? I talked earlier about that identity crisis. The greatest virtue that Mark Hansen is praised for as he exits the position of presiding bishop is keeping the church together. Remember, the Evangelical Lutheran Church's identity over the last 25 years has been, we're going to call ourselves Lutheran, but do what we please, and we will not divide. And she praises him for, in spite of the fact that they all believe different things, that they disagree profoundly. She praises him for the fact that he kept the church together. Really, he didn't. He presided over the biggest numerical loss, one-time numerical loss in mainline Protestantism. He will have a place in the history books as presiding over the largest numerical loss of a mainline Protestant denomination, single event mainline loss after 2009. But from her perspective, he kept them together because none of the presiding bishops resigned in protest. Is that a tribute to their unity or a tribute to the fact that they just don't care? That they'll stick together no matter what? Do you see what's happened here? Unity has been, disunity is now being extolled as unity. We stick together in spite of the fact that we don't agree. We stick together in spite of the fact that we have abandoned Holy Scripture. The very basis of our unity, we got rid of that a long time ago, but we stick together. So I think she's still clinging to the old identity, and she's still struggling with how to keep the church together. She is right, though, when she gives Bishop Hansen credit for her election. She's absolutely right. There's no doubt about it. He not only laid the foundation for the election of for her election as bishop, the church, this church is ready to move on, not past the controversy, but into new ones. It's ready. He has primed the pump for this church to graduate into kind of full-fledged womanhood among the sisters of mainline Protestantism. They're ready to take their place not just behind the Episcopal Church USA or behind the United Church of Christ in their innovations. They're ready to take their place beside them. We'll be right back.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at christlc.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues Etc. podcast at the iTunes store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day.
We need to make room for those who do not agree with us, but who do agree upon the cross. Ambiguity is possible so long as we agree on Christ and Christ crucified.
Truly, the disease of my soul must be great and deadly if it can only be cured because the heavenly physician, life itself, dies on a cross.
Jesus understands very well that for him to do these works, it's like when he told the man, your sins are forgiven. Jesus was signing his own death warrant.
I remember it all as I die, as I lay my head down in death. My son, I'm not afraid. I go to you who have conquered death, to you who are the forgiveness of all sins. Receive me, child, receive me.
In about 10 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's just a preview of the soundbites we'll play for you. Your votes determine which one will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. So get ready to call, email, send us a tweet, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 10 minutes. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's audio open lines for the next 10 minutes, responding to the new presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Here's a review of Issues Etc. that Mark posted yesterday at the iTunes store. It's titled Issues Etc. Engaging Both the Culture and the Church. Mark writes, "Never despair. Discerning, instructing, equipping, and sustaining Christians. All Christians will benefit from the spiritual insights found in every segment of Issues Etc. Issues Etc. addresses the relevant topics of our day with guests that are experts in their respective fields. The Christian worldview presented by Issues Etc. is historic, Christ-centered, grounded in Scripture, yet unique, distinct from the response by most in Christianity today. Issues Etc. engaging both the culture and the Christian." That's a great tagline, by the way, engaging both the culture and the Christian. We might have to steal that. That came from an iTunes review that Mark wrote at the iTunes store. You can write one, too, and get a chance to win one of two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Over 8 hours of audio, the entire conference on this audio DVD. We're giving two of them away to two reviewers at the iTunes store of the Issues Etc. podcast. Go to the iTunes store, search for Issues Etc. When you find it, click Ratings and Reviews and write your review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org, contest@issuesetc.org, and we will choose the two winners and announce them of the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference on Labor Day. The first question that was posed to Bishop Eaton after her opening remarks about keeping the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America was, how does she plan? This is an interesting question. Listen carefully. How does she plan to move forward on gay clergy without alienating those who thought that the ELCA waited too long to recognize gay clergy? Not those who objected to recognizing gay clergy. This question is about alienating those who thought they waited too long to recognize gay clergy.
This is one of the geniuses of the Lutheran movement, is that we've always been a church that not only lives with paradox, but also thrives on paradox. We say that we're sinners and saints at the same time. We believe in law and gospel. So this, I think, will be really living into and claiming after, I think, maybe being a little bit molded by, unfortunately, a very fractious and divided civil discourse, saying this is who we are. As long as we agree on the cross of Christ, we can do that. And I think saying that out loud to people who have felt that inclusivity means just including people who think a certain way, I think having that discussion is going to be very important. I think that'll take care of it for people. If they believe that they're being heard and there's a place for them, I think we'll be okay.
She wants the church to live into the paradox. Now, the examples she cites are kind of odd, law and gospel. Actually, law and gospel is not a paradox. They are the two equally valid words of God that do not contradict one another. Please, Bishop Eaton, read the book of Romans. We do not overturn the law. We do not abolish the law. We uphold it in proclaiming the gospel. It's not a paradox. It's the two words of God. It's alien work and it's proper work. The law serves the gospel. It doesn't contradict the gospel. It serves the gospel in the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And the other one she mentioned was, what was it? It's maybe saint and sinner, something like that. Well, that might seem like a paradox here on this side of the resurrection. But what she means by paradox is we can hold equally contradictory truths in the same church, and it's okay as long as everyone gets a chance to be heard. So there's no doubt about it. She's ready to go on the further affirmation of gay clergy. And she's going to justify it by, of all things, what her version of Lutheran paradox. She was asked a question, a very interesting question. What might be different in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in 3 or 4 years? Here's her answer.
No, I think we've weathered that very well. There are some communities who are conservative on that politically and theologically on that issue, But what we're seeing after these years since 2009, that people, they want a place where they hear the gospel. They want a place where they hear that they're valued and that they've been made new, as we would say, in Jesus Christ. And they know we disagree on this issue. Another genius of the Lutheran Church. We can disagree on that. It's part of God's left-hand kingdom. But we agree on the cross, and because we do that, we're able to make these connections. And folks, we do have a very strong growth in our ethnic strategies, in our African national churches. In my synod, believe it or not, we have two Latino strategies going on there. They're fully aware that this is a decision we've taken and a position we have, and they are still saying they want to be a part of this church. I find that humbling and refreshing. We're not defined by that single issue.
Well, I would beg to differ. I think the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has abundantly defined itself by the issue of human sexuality. Now, the real question she was answering there, I'm sorry, that was my mistake, was address the tensions created by the sexuality decisions that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has made recently when reaching out to non-European and non-white people. She says, we're doing good. We're doing great. Do you notice what she did? Another Lutheran, a faux Lutheran sleight of hand. Let's just call it that. A faux Lutheran sleight of hand. She threw out a little Lutheran term, left-hand kingdom, and said, look, we can disagree about sexuality, human sexuality, because that's in the left-hand kingdom. That's not in the right-hand kingdom. When did that happen? When did it happen that matters of morality pertaining to human sexuality became left-hand kingdom issues? I think the Bible still addresses human sexuality in moral terms, in salvific terms, in terms of the order of creation. I think the Bible still addresses that. It's still a right-hand kingdom issue. But she's decided that we can disagree about human sexuality because that's just a left-hand, that's a political issue. That's what she's saying. It's not true, but that's what she's saying. Your view on human sexuality is just a political issue. That has nothing to do with the church. Very clever, Bishop Eaton. Very clever indeed. I used to have a boss like this, that whenever, you know, I questioned the morality of something that we were going to do as an organization, he'd say, it's a left-hand kingdom issue, as though there were no Christian morality in the left-hand kingdom. This is a left-hand kingdom issue. Well, Bishop Eaton is playing the same game. Another question was posed to her. What do you plan to do to reach out to recent breakaway groups from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? Listen very carefully to her answer.
Well, it didn't take long to get to a hot button issue, did it? We took a decision in 2011 that we would try to reach out to those two denominations. Of course, in baptism, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we do claim the same Lutheran heritage. There's going to have to be a lot of work done from those denominations, as well as ours, to begin to come to a place where we can have an open and civil dialogue. The manner in which those denominations were formed has been extremely painful to our church. And it's not going to be something that can be quickly forgotten. There'll have to be a lot of work done on that. But we're supposed to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And since these are actually brothers and sisters, well, you know, families might be tougher than enemies, but we'll do what we can through God's grace, because that's the only way that that's going to happen.
Well, I get the sense, and maybe it's just me, this is just a personal impression, I could be wrong, that she really didn't want that question, but she had that question, she had to answer it. And look, there's a little bit of testiness in her response. Why? And I think it's clear from her words. Bishop, the new presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, is convinced that her church body did the right thing in affirming homosexuality, in its clergy, in marriage, in all facets of life in 2009. And she is personally offended that anyone would disagree with her or with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And she views the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America as a victim of those denominations that decided to leave. She might well feel that way because she's inheriting a church that is smaller, significantly smaller, and poorer in terms of money than it has ever been. And she might be mad at those breakaway denominations because they've left her in a kind of a no-win situation. Thanks for electing me presiding bishop after the biggest split in our church. Thanks for electing me after presiding bishop after we had to cut staff at our Higgins Road headquarters. Thanks for electing me presiding bishop after the most 12 most contentious years of our church body. So you might well feel put upon and victimized by those who left the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But as I've said before, for them it was the last straw. For them it was finally, their consciences could no longer be silenced by all of the conversation and all of the dialogue and all of the boldly going forward into God's future. The ELCA is not the victim here, I guarantee you. When we come back, Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google Plus. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
One of the things I love most about being a Lutheran is it doesn't require me to deny or explain away a single syllable of the Bible. I love that.
Pastor Todd Wilkin speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I don't have to be afraid that I'm going to find something in the Bible that is, That's not Lutheran. I don't have to worry about that. The closer you go into the Bible, the bigger magnifying glass you put on the text of Scripture, you find that it's Lutheran all the way down. You can put it under a microscope, and it is.
You can listen to Todd's entire presentation and all of the presentations from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference on our new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.